97.5, The Fanatic.
Stahl puts it right out of the stick of Obey Cabell, and the Flyers break up the ice. Here's Lawton, stepped in over the line. Right wing pass, Obey Cabell with a shot. Big rebound, Van Riemsdyk. He scores! James Van Riemsdyk, after the Georgiev save, has his 19th of the year. 5-10 games, the Flyers snap the 1-1 tie.
Well, that's one of the many highlights from last night's 5-2 win for the Philadelphia Flyers. Your second place Philadelphia Flyers in the Metropolitan Division. Good Saturday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside the great Jamie Lynch. How are you today, Jamie?
I'm good. The Flyers continue to dominate.
And they continue to like, kind of make you feel happy with life and sports.
Yeah, they're a nice relief from probably the most frustrating Sixers season of my lifetime. So, yeah, the Flyers are like this
little Sixers season, like sports season.
Yeah, seriously, in general.
Like, can you think of a more frustrating season? We kind of talked about this during the week,
yeah.
Andy and I.
Like, Dream Team.
Dream Team
is just the one that comes to mind.
Other than that, like,
yeah.
people were saying, oh, 2011, Phillies, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, no, because they won 102 games.
Yeah.
The end was terrible.
The end sucked, but it wasn't a whole season.
The ride, you were loving your
fun.
Life.
Yeah, they were one of the most dominant teams in baseball. Yeah, so the Flyers, it'll just like a nice solitude of kind of the basketball misery we've been experiencing.
Yeah, so the Flyers, great win last night. I was actually at the barn yesterday, and the place was rocking.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I looked at Addie, because it's right around when Skylar goes to bed.
Okay.
And she loves hockey. Like, she wants to go to Flyers games all the time. And I just kind of looked at her, and I was like, oh, this would be a good one to be at tonight. And she was like, yeah, why'd you have to say that?
Yeah, it was a great one to be
at. Like, yeah.
I had a lot of fun last night, and the place was rocking. There was actually a lot of Rangers fans there. Rangers fans there. But it made for a good back and forth. There was actually a group of Rangers fans to the left of me, and when the Flyers went up like 4-1, they got like... The Philly fans were great, right? Like, they were heckling them all game. And,
yeah.
And then once they got up to leave, like, everybody was shaking their hands and stuff. But, like, they all had their heads down.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
right.
Well, the Rangers are going to have their chance at redemption on Sunday. As,
tomorrow. The home
this
and
is
home.
Like the month of home and homes, it seems like. They're playing everybody in home
and
homes.
Yeah, the Florida home and home a couple
days
ago.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, I think.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's been nonstop home and home. So the Rangers are going to want blood on Sunday. And if they can go back up into MSG... And do that again?
Well, you got the best 1-2 punch. The home goalie in Carter Hart and the road goalie in Brian Elliott.
Yeah, I'm curious if that's something they end up going with.
Alain Vigneault was on with Mike earlier this week and said that that's something they will consider.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. It's kind of against everything, you know, hockey playoffs are about, because you kind of got to ride the hot goalie.
The hot goalie, yeah.
But Carter Hart at home, I mean, he had a save late in the first period last night. His side-to-side ability, he's just always in the right position.
Oh, the one
position.
That he caught with his glove. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a slap shot. The guy...
He's never out of position. He's really phenomenal at home, and then on the road... You know, he's not that, and Brian Elliott's been great, so it's something you gotta toy with.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but hey, if it works, it works.
I believe that's now 51 of the last 62 that the Sixers and Flyers have won at home.
That's unbelievable.
52
I heard you guys talking about that in the morning show, just how incredible. I mean, the Sixers are 28-2 at home this year.
It's a kudos to the fans, honestly.
I think so.
Yeah.
You have to give them credit.
At least... With the Sixers, because they do not want to lose at home. They don't want to hear it. And
yeah, they're smart.
Yeah.
they hear it at the beginning of the game during introduction.
Yeah,
and they're like, all right, I want to hear this again the rest
of
the night.
I guess they take a deep breath on the road and go, all right, we can just go out and play.
That's not the first time we've heard that story before. Remember, like, the Phillies in the 80s, they talk about that all the time. They actually liked playing on the road because they didn't want to get booed at it at home. So the Flyers, great win last night.
Second place in the Metro.
They continue to stay hot. They're continuing to roll. And listen, they still have a tough schedule to close out the season, but
it's the Metro gauntlet here coming up.
Yeah, they have a lot of tough. I mean, a couple with the Penguins, a couple with the Islanders, a couple
Penguins
with the Preds.
Five losses in a row.
Unbelievable. If Penguins lose again yesterday, so the Flyers second place in the Metropolitan Division. The Penguins still have a game in hand, but still, I mean, the fact that the Flyers are in second place, when like 2 weeks ago we were saying, remember, we were all on Saturday morning 2 weeks ago, we were like, yeah, let's enjoy the ride. Let's hope they get to the wild card and make it into the first round, and let's see what they do in the first round. Now it's... Dude, they could finish second place. They could finish first. They really could.
If they were out west in the Pacific Division, they'd be in first place.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, they're amongst the top 6-point teams in the NHL, and they just entered the top 10 the other night. I believe it was Wednesday night in goals per game average.
Wow.
you know, the defense isn't shooting you in the foot. You know, it's you got good goaltending. Yeah. You got a fun offense. And I said to you guys earlier before the show that they're like kind of my Sixer Xanax.
Yes.
They're like a nice, like kind of stress-free, just enjoy the ride type of thing right now.
Okay.
And they're really helping me.
I'm glad you say that because there's a couple of topics that I want to get into today. And the number to get in, 610-632-0975. The Sixers angle that I was thinking of driving in this morning. When Anthony was out a few weeks ago, there was 27 games left. It was the first game after the All-Star break. And I asked, like, how should we space this out? Should we react like every single game is a game 7 or like an Eagles game? Or should we try to break it up into 10-10-7? Should we do 5-5, 6-6-5?
I honestly only care about road games anymore.
No, you know where I'm at this point? The rest of this regular season doesn't matter to me. The rest of the regular, because at this point,
you think they're pretty much locked into the 4 or 5 and going to play the Heat regardless.
Yes. And here's the deal: I know that they're going to win at home, and I know that they're going to struggle on the road.
I think they'll beat the Heat. I do, but the second round's going to be really tough.
Yeah, because you're going to face Milwaukee.
Because you're probably going to get Milwaukee. Best case, you get a Boston or Toronto.
Right. but here's what I'm saying is all week. When we do the Bring the Heat line, when you hear Sound Off with Mike, or when people call into you guys, or Middays, or Mike, you hear the words, I'm done with the Sixers, I'm out, I'm checked out.
Nobody actually believes that.
Nobody, and they're never out, right? They're never checking out. But here's the thing that we have to realize, they're still going to make the playoffs. They're not going to have this collapse where they miss the playoffs.
No.
Come playoff time, what are we going to do? As fans, we're going to get all fired up. We're going to get rowdy. We're going to get excited.
Set ourselves up for heartbreak.
And let's go Sixers. There's going to be the Sixers flags on the cards.
Dude,
again.
Sixers Flyers could be like alternating days in playoff
games. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. The month of April is going to be awesome.
When was the last time that happened? Like 2012?
That's a good...
it's been a long time.
No, the Flyers made it in 17.
Yeah, but the Sixers... The Sixers, when they went to...
All
right, so it's not as long as I thought.
But you also didn't have high expectations that year. Like, this year. You had high expectations for the Sixers coming into it, and the Flyers have over-exceeded the expectations we had. So it's worth still getting excited for the month of April and hopefully the month of May and maybe the month of June. I doubt it, but we'll see. So how should we start handling the Sixers the rest of the way? I'm at the point now, Jamie, where... I'm going to watch the games, but I'm not going to like...
Damn
it, you guys lost on the road again! It's like, I already know the story at this point.
Yeah, they're pretty well scripted, and that's unfortunate, but all it would take for you is a win over the Lakers or Clippers coming up here on Sunday or Tuesday, and you'd get the itch again.
Would I, though? Because...
I think you would. If you're beating one of the two best teams in the entire NBA on their court without Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
But that's the thing. Without Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And then when it comes back to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid being on the court again, and they have to figure out how to play with one another again and figure out how to... Like, yeah, I'm going to be excited for those wins. Don't get me wrong.
You'll be right back with your pom-poms out. Don't you worry.
You're probably right.
But, I mean, if they get a win on Sunday or Tuesday, those are big wins. And if they do it without Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, I hear your point, but I think that's a little dramatic.
It is dramatic.
A little big boomer energy out of you.
Yeah. But that's where I'm at this point.
I hear you, but that's pretty damn impressive. If they go in there without their two all-stars and pull out a win versus...
Shake Milton puts up 30.
Hell yeah. Sniper shake, baby.
I mean, the Sixers are 9-21 on the road.
I know. It's really... They have the same road record as, like, the Knicks and the Cavaliers.
So, Jamie, even if they win one of those two games, they go 1-1 in those two games, they're 10-22 on the road.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm excited that they beat one of the two best teams in the West, one of the two best teams in the NBA. But I'm still going, all right, they're 10-22.
What if they went 3-1 on this road trip? I know that's kind of a pipe dream, but you'd be damn excited.
Oh yeah, I would be excited.
And you have to, like, as important as the Lakers and Clippers games are, I really want to see them handle the Kings and the Warriors.
I don't know if they do.
Obviously, they struggle against Atlanta's and other crap teams.
You popped in on, was it yesterday with Anthony?
Yeah.
You popped in and I said, remember, the Kings are a fast team and the Sixers don't have, with Ben Simmons out, who's their perimeter defender? It's Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
After that,
you're going to need Josh Richardson to step up.
You do. And you don't have your rim protector in Joel Embiid for maybe 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 games. I don't know. Steph Curry's going to be back.
Yeah.
For the Sixers game.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's at the Oracle, not the Oracle, whatever their stadium is now, but it's in San Francisco, and they have a great fan base out there.
I believe they self-funded that stadium. I think the owners of the Warriors didn't use taxpayer money.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, I think they actually weren't scumbags about it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was very nice.
So I want to hear, and you know, we're going to talk Flyers, and we're excited. It's more so like a celebration of the Flyers today.
It's not. I've missed this. I really have.
Oh, yeah, this is awesome.
I mean, 2017, they snuck in, but you kind of didn't have the excitement that this team has.
Yeah, because 2017, remember, they went on a 10-game winning streak after they had a 10-game losing streak.
There was peaks and valleys.
They were the first team in NHL history, I believe it was, to have a 10-game losing streak, a 10-game winning streak in the same season, and make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was the first team ever to do that in NHL
history. This team, I'm starting to convince myself, can legit compete for the Cup.
Yeah, because I quite frankly, the Negadelphian inside of me has been waiting for that sort of like collapse, and not because I go, it's the Flyers, they're going to collapse. No, it's like, all right, these guys are young players. The moment might get too big.
Yeah,
this is the first year in a new system where it's more faster than years past. So maybe they're going to not have the conditioning to make that stretch run. They proved me wrong every single night.
Yeah, it's like it's a really healthy mix of vets and youth.
Yes.
It's like it seems to be like the right recipe between your Hayes's, JVR's, Voracek's, Giroux's, and then you know you go down and look at the Konechny's and Abe Kubel's.
I love Nicholas Abe Kubel.
He's been playing really good hockey.
Yes,
and you know,
an assist last night.
Yeah, and you know, like it's exciting. It really is. And you know, Nolan Patrick's probably not going to come back again this year, but you know, this year and the future is still very promising and exciting for this team.
And that's another amazing thing. Like, they expected big production from Patrick and Lindblom this year.
Yeah.
Right? And they've been doing what they've been able to do with
Scotty Lawton.
The unfortunate situations with both of them not being able to play. Look at how well they've still been playing this year.
Yeah.
And those are two key pieces on this team.
Yeah.
All right, Nolan Patrick's a second-line guy. And Lindblom's all over the place.
You know what I was talking about with Egan yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour? What absolute successes the Carter and Richards trades were in hindsight.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you...
At the time, we hated it.
Yeah.
The Kings move on and win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. But, like, Ron Hextall, it's funny, GMs in this town, they're always remember... Like, mm-hmm. History is always remembering them more fondly. Like, it's... GMing is tough in that... It's you kind of need instantaneous results, but you also need to build for the future at the same time. So it's like you're seeing a lot of Hextall's fruits in the cupboards bare now.
I was angry when he got fired because I liked the direction that he was taking the team. I liked there were some bright signs last year. Obviously, they didn't make it because you know Carhartt was he didn't come.
But we were screaming for the youth movement, like play the kids,
and they were fine. And that's the thing, he still held back on some of the guys, and we find out that he was a bit of a psycho walking around in the locker rooms and stuff. But credit Chuck Fletcher for pushing this team.
But
to
like
the next
you
level.
Know, it's funny, like Ed Wade, everybody hated him at the time, and then his core of Utley, Rollins, Hamels,
and his guys,
and J-Raw all bear fruit. It's like the only one that's not remembered fondly, really, is Ruben Amaro Jr. And even with parts of him, I'm like,
well, got you, Nola.
Yeah,
and,
like I couldn't really.
And we'll see what Hoskins
fault
does.
Him because he pushed all in with the pitchers.
Yep.
So like GMing's weird, and you know Ron Hextall is kind of falling into that category a little bit.
Yeah, he pretty much is. The only guy that is loved is Sam Hinkie. My opinion.
Brian Colangelo is certainly not loved. By the way, did you see the Markel Fultz Bleacher Report story?
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
I don't really want to spend a lot of time. He put out a tweet yesterday.
Yeah, he's like, don't believe everything you read.
But that could mean anything.
Come on, dude. You definitely said something.
Yeah, you said that Philadelphia hated you.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
Anyway, 610-632.
I think he's an ass face.
I agree. 610-632-0975. We want to celebrate the Flyers who continue to just roll, and we want to have some fun talking about the Flyers. The Sixers side of things, I'm ready to just, quite frankly, if I could push a button and just get to the playoffs, because I know they're not going to climb to the 3 seed. They're not going to climb to the 2 seed.
It's not without Ben Simmons.
It's not going to happen. And that's the other thing. It's like, okay, so if they, I don't think they're going to go on a run because they don't have their two best players.
Yeah. I mean, Embiid should be, like, I'm kind of, my irritation with him is at an all-time high.
Yeah, I agree.
There's nothing wrong with your shoulder. Your team needs you. The other superstar's out. Like, come on, man.
I kind of agree with you. I don't know. It looked like he got shot.
Yeah, like, play through your boo-boo, dude. Like, the team needs you. It's so frustrating. And that's, like, the big problem with this team. they're almost cursing that there's never a consistency with what they have.
Right.
Like the last 2 years, you change rosters drastically throughout the year, and then Joel Embiid gets diarrhea going into the playoffs. And it's just like there's always something. And now it's something else. And it just prevents them from playing together consistently over the course of a season.
And this is right before not only the Clippers-Lakers game, but right before a stretch run of games that we've been pointing out a few times.
Yeah.
This stretch of 11 games where I kept on saying 9-2.
Yeah.
You gotta go 9-2, and this is after the Clippers and Lakers game. But can you say that now? No, they lost to the Cavs because Joel Embiid went out and Benson was already gone.
And Tobias Harris and Al Horford shot the ball 6 times in the second half.
Yeah, and that's embarrassing.
6 times.
So, I don't know. Like, that's why I'm just saying I don't expect this big run.
No, I hear your point. So, I can't talk you off that ledge.
You finish 4th, great. You finish 5th, whatever.
You're gonna have to win a game on the road regardless.
And have they shown that they can do that this year? No, they can't. So let's get to the playoffs. When the playoffs come, whether you're 4th, 5th, 6th even, I'm still going to get fired up come playoff
time. What would be absolute hell for an entire offseason is if they lose to the Miami Heat.
And Butler just goes off.
And Butler kills them.
Yeah.
I can't deal with an offseason of that. Because the Jimmy Butler love, look, I get it. I liked him.
I loved him. I was upset.
It's out of control.
I was upset.
The guy's kind of a crumb everywhere he goes.
Yeah, you know what?
Give him another year and a half in Miami, and we'll see what happens.
He's a talented crumb.
Also one of the worst fourth quarter shooters in the entire NBA.
Not for the Sixers last year.
Yeah, well, he's shooting like 26% down there for Miami.
Stop. How dare you?
The Jimmy
Put
Butler.
Some respect into Jimmy Butler's
everybody
name.
Relax out there.
The other thing
I can't deal with an entire offseason of that. I really can't, dude. It would be hell.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, it wouldn't even be an entire
offseason. Oh, he got this bomb Tobias Harris. He let Jimmy Butler go to Miami, yep. And then he beat
It'll
you.
It'll be that. It'll be Ben and Joel can't play together.
Oh, yeah.
Ben, one of them's always hurt.
Oh, the Hoagie Mouse
coach
will be out.
Which is
well, I think that's happening regardless.
Now it's Elton Brand is now on the hot seat.
So who's
going to
be the
fans?
Who's going to be the hot name? Jason Kidd as head coach?
Probably. Unless they go like a random route, like a Nick Nurse who comes out of nowhere.
It'd be great to find a Nick Nurse.
He's one of the best head coaches in the NBA.
Yeah, I have a feeling Jason Kidd's going to be the hot name.
Yeah,
I think
probably.
He's tight with Rich Paul, and Rich Paul, you know, it's an agent-controlled league.
It also makes sense that...
Yeah, I think he kind of got ran out of...
Ben Simmons to Jason Kidd.
Yeah, and he got ran out of Milwaukee
a
little early.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, whatever.
But Budenholzer's doing pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got Giannis.
I can't deal with an offseason if they lose to the Heat.
No,
they can beat the Heat. You stop it.
I know. The other thing I want to get into is... I asked you and I asked Dylan the same question. I asked you guys both, what's like the top thing on your mind in Philadelphia sports right now? And you both answered Flyers. And then you also said, but I've also been thinking about the Eagles a lot.
This week, yeah, with the combine kicking into gear. There's some rumors out there. People don't realize free agency is 18 days away.
Well, that's the thing. So you sent me...
18 days. I can't wait because NFL free agency is mayhem.
You sent me a report. Was it this morning? I looked at my text.
Happened. Oh, good job.
Thank you.
I offered you coffee. You didn't look at that text.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't. Yeah, you sent me this. See, look at my phone. Look at it. Like, I don't know what's going on, dude.
Man.
It's sideways. Like, I don't know how to work this crap. Anyways, you sent me the report about Byron Jones and how the Cowboys are going to let him hit free agency.
Apparently, they had a meeting at the NFL Combine yesterday or the day before, and the impression both sides got was that Byron Jones is going to be a free agent.
And the other thing is, we've heard, if Byron Jones hits free agency, the Eagles are going to be big players.
I think
if Amari Cooper hits free agency, the Eagles are going to be big players.
Jones is going to be way more likely than Cooper.
I think so, too. Plus, you need wide receivers, but you can draft this historic wide receiver draft.
Exactly.
Whereas you need a number one corner, and Byron Jones is that.
And you've shown you can't really draft cornerbacks at all.
Exactly.
So I think Byron Jones makes a lot of sense
for
the Eagles. So that excites me, you know what I mean?
It excites me, and I was driving in here, and I was like, all right, what can we get into with the Eagles? And then I remembered.
I think there's massive shakeups coming. Massive.
Yeah, you're right. But here's the thing. Are the Eagles are on the forefront of people's minds at all right now?
It doesn't seem like it.
And that's what I'm trying to get into. 2 weeks ago, when Anthony was out, you guys had Schefter on that Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you guys have him on every Wednesday. And that's when he brought up the Darius Slay trade. It could be a second or it could be a third round pick. He also brought up the Stephon Diggs stuff.
I'd rather sign a Jones than trade for a Slay.
Let me get to my
brother, all right.
Guy. All right, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
So, that show, when I was filming for Anthony, after you guys, I was like, all right, I'm going to get into the Eagles here. Crickets.
Yeah.
And then, this week, we've done a lot of combine stuff, and we've talked Eagles. Crickets. Last week, Anthony said something. He asked me a question. He goes, How do you feel about the Eagles' Super Bowl chances this year? Like, just right now. Like, I know it's a total random date. It was February 27th, but like February 27th. What do you? And I was like, quite frankly, I don't feel good. Like, I don't think it's
really.
No, I don't. So
I don't see why you wouldn't.
You would think, and I wasn't doing that radio. Like, I don't think they're gonna win.
Like, I'm not saying they're the favorites. But you still got your offensive line. Yeah. You got Miles Sanders coming into year two.
Yeah.
You got DeSean Jackson.
I like the offense. The defense freaks me out.
It does freak me out. But if Byron Jones is added and that secures up the secondary.
They can change the way I feel about it. Let's see if they make moves on draft day.
I think big changes are coming on that defense.
I think you're right. And McClain actually was on with us yesterday and said that.
I feel like I'm the only one that has faith in Howie left.
No, I'm a Howie guy, but I just...
I feel like everybody turned on him.
I just think they have too many needs right now.
They have a lot.
Like, and you're going to have... Retooling, that's fine.
The key to this is going to be the draft. You have to hit on probably three guys that are going to contribute real stuff this year.
Yes.
You're probably going to need a young linebacker to step up. You're probably going to need a young wide receiver to really step
you're
up.
You're going to need a lot, and that's why I'm not here like, oh, yeah, Super Bowl.
But
like,
you got Carson Wentz.
I know.
So I'm throwing him in top seven teams in the NFC that have a shot.
But Anthony asked me, are they winning the Super Bowl this year? I was like, no, I don't think so. Like, right now, I don't think that. Let me see what they do this offseason. I might be able to change my mind. But I said that, and you would think people like Eagles fans would react to that. Crickets, again. Are the Eagles, like, what has happened? Because I've been here 5 years now. You've been here, what, 4 years now?
Four and a half, something like that.
What did we talk about ad nauseum?
And let's get it back to the Eagles, man.
Let's get it back to the Eagles right there. Back to the Eagles way. The sign's still behind me.
But I like that it's not that anymore. All the time anymore.
I do too, but it's also...
But now's the time when I got the football itch because I'm 18 days away from free agency. I'm starting to think about the moves and what the plan
is. Going on. It's still going on today. Yeah. It's the last day.
And forget guys running 40 times. Teams are talking nonstop at the combine. That's the most important part of the combine, is a lot of trade talks happen, a lot of just general free agency, tires are kicked.
Outside of Philadelphia, you still have the Brady stuff. You have the Philip Rivers stuff.
Where Brady's going right to Jeff Darlington himself and trying to get Robert Kraft to pony up.
I know. I get it. He's going to New England.
I'd be stunned if he's not a Patriot.
But it's a storyline, and it's a big storyline. It's the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Right? So, there are storylines in the NFL. There are a lot of storylines with the Eagles, and yet it's crickets. Because I think we are so down with the Sixers, and it's such a crazy drama reality TV show that it's like it's taken over our lives. The Flyers, like you just said, are sort of like the Xanax to our Sixers, like angst, right? Like, so the Flyers are sort of calming us down.
Mm-hmm.
Philly's nobody's really getting into right now because they didn't really make that many big moves, and it's more so let's wait till the season starts. Who cares about spring training at this point? Eagles, they're still the number one team in the city. People still love the Eagles more than any other team in the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's crickets, Eagles talk-wise.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to get into.
Yeah, there is. I mean, this is going to be... You're probably going to have 20 new players on the team next year.
Right.
Out of 52. Like, there's going to be a lot of shakeup coming. Is Malcolm Jenkins going to come back? Jason Peters news. That's really picking up some steam here.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
And, there's a little rumor down in Houston. Nothing.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out.
I hear you. But
I'm out.
There's going to be a lot of moves coming.
All right, we'll get into it. The number to get in today, 610-632-0975. The Flyers, we just want to celebrate. The Sixers... I'm pushing the button to get to the playoffs right now. And whatever happens in the playoffs, happens in the playoffs. The Eagles
thing... Is Ben Simmons going to be playing in the playoffs?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. The Eagles thing is kind of like the biggest thing I want to get into. I am shocked that the lack of... I don't even want to say excitement. The lack of like talking value with the Eagles right now, when there is so much to talk about, but there's no reaction from the fans. And that kind of freaks me out. Because we're normally Eagles, Eagles, Eagles.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with you. It's a breath of fresh air where we can talk Sixers, Flyers for an entire winter and not even mention the Eagles a week after they lose to the Seahawks. But when there's a lot going on Eagles-wise, a lot going on football-wise, I still want to talk about it.
Absolutely.
So the number, 610-632-0975. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and we're all until noon right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, 9:30, 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside Jamie Lynch, the bro. Dylan McKinnon producing the show today.
I'm jealous you were down at the barn last night.
It was awesome.
I got to get down there.
So, I mean, they've been so much fun to watch. I think this
baby thing really gets in the way of sports sometimes.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you know.
I have to, speaking of baby, I don't know how I got into this. I need marital advice later.
Oh, yeah.
It has nothing to do with a kid. So, Ma, if you're listening, no. That's not why we're coming down today.
I'm happy to help however I can.
And I'm going
to
need some... I need, like, advice from the married people out there later on in the show.
You're still wet behind the ears. What are you, 4 months married?
Not even.
Three?
So, tomorrow will be... 3 months.
Oh, what are you doing for the 3 month anniversary? That's a quarter of a year, Bo. You got to have the quarter of the year anniversary party.
Is that something?
Oh,
to
that's
do?
A big thing. Yeah,
we'll be down the shore. So maybe I'll take her on the beach when it's windy and cold.
There you go. Take her to Stephen Cookies. Get some blueberry pie. Did you ever go there?
No. Where's that at?
Oh, it's in Margate.
All right, I'm going to Brigantine.
Well, it's close enough, dude.
I'm not going to drive.
It's the best blueberry pie you'll ever have.
I'm not going to drive somewhere to get blueberry pie. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm not going to drive to go get blueberry pie.
What? It's like the town next door, isn't it?
I'll get her some Stocks pound cake.
Oh.
That's a Brigantine spec.
Stocks is down in Brigantine?
Yeah. I've had many beers with Carl Stock. Nice man.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that pound cake?
The same bar my dad goes to.
Is the greatest thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah, no, he's a great man.
Oh,
I've shaken his hand before, and I said thank you for...
That stuff is delicious.
These hands are God's gift.
I didn't know they had one down in Brigantine, too.
Yeah, man. That's where he's from.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, all right, let's get back to the Eagles.
Oh, now I'm thinking about Stocks pound cake. Damn it!
So, Flyers, we're celebrating right now. Sixers, I'm flipping the switch to just get to the playoffs.
Yeah, which is pretty wild.
Because I'm tired of complaining about them. That's my biggest thing.
I hear you, but there's a lot of kinks they can still work out in 20 games or whatever it is.
So, a couple people called in during the break, and, you know, Dylan can't answer all the phones at once, so I picked up one call, and we'll get to him in a little bit. And he's like, yeah, you know, I want to talk about how the Sixers aren't gelling and that kind of... And I'm just like, I really don't want to bitch and complain about them anymore. I'm tired of it, quite frankly. They deserve all the bitching and
complaining. They've exhausted my energy.
That's
this
what I'm
year.
Saying. Like,
yeah.
Like, I got no bitching and moaning left in the tank.
I saw the 49-point performance from Embiid the other night in the second row. We were sitting in the Rothman orthopedic seats that we gave away. Normally, if I leave a game like that where Joel Embiid
you're
at 49,
up.
I'm like, damn, that was awesome. And he was amazing that night.
Yep.
He showed why he has the potential to be a top three player in this league. And normally leaving that stadium, I'd be jacked out of my mind.
But you said two things. It was at home
versus a bad team.
Yep.
And I left that stadium and I was just like, yeah, I mean, that was cool.
That's what I said the next morning.
Yeah, I literally tweeted out leaving the stadium. I was like, yeah, great, you know,
awesome.
But I expect that at home. Do it on the road.
Yeah.
And that was the feeling I had after watching one of the best Sixers performances.
That
sucks. Yeah, it really does. It's not cool because I don't like being like that.
And like the next game they play the Cavs. And
the defense was just, ugh.
Well, Embiid goes out, then you hear the cut from Horford saying, you know, we didn't know what to do, and that's troubling. And it's like,
the guy, I said this yesterday with Mark, the guys that are all kind of making comments about Brett,
yeah.
Think about where they're coming from. Al Horford's coming from Brad Stevens in
mm-hmm.
Boston.
Yep.
Glenn Robinson's coming from Steve Kerr in Golden State.
Josh from Spoelstra.
Those are three of probably the top seven coaches in the entire NBA. So they're coming from places where they see a real deal coach.
Now, Glenn Robinson III was... Come on, dude.
Did I tell you the Bob theory on this?
Which
kind of makes a little bit of sense. That maybe some veterans suggested to him that... If you feel that way, don't be afraid.
Hold back.
Yeah, don't be afraid, dude, to let it go.
That's good theory.
And like, I'm just using Al Horford as an example.
Hit the open shot. Glenn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm split on that.
Like you have a limited role, to be honest.
You're a basketball player. Let's not act like you're splitting the atom here.
Yeah.
Your role. How about you go knock on the coach's door and ask him if you're confused instead of going to talk to the media? But at the same time, like, I could totally see Glenn Robinson like going up to Al at practice and being like, yeah, man, you know. I don't really know what my role is here. I don't really, like, I kind of feel weird.
And neither did Al Horford two months ago. Remember?
Al said December 31st. Yep. Basically, like, I'm not as bad as this. My role here, I don't really know. And I could see Al being, and this is Bob's theory. And Al could be like, "Hey, man, if you need to let that go, let it." Yeah, because he's a rental player. He's not here long term. He doesn't have to deal with long term repercussions of anything. So it's just kind of like, yeah, man, let it rip in the media if you feel that way.
Isn't it sad that we're this exhausted though?
Yeah, like, Josh Richardson talking about heart.
So the Eagles went 9-7 last year. So we bitched for fourteen days, because you complain Sunday after the game, you complain that Monday. It's been 19 road losses, 20 road losses for the Sixers, and we go nuts every time they lose. Every time the Sixers lose, we go nuts because we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't handle a Sixers season like an Eagles season. But
no,
we're going nuts.
Yeah.
And that's why we're exhausted. I'm exhausted, at least. I don't know about other people.
No, it's...
Antoine, we're about to take his call in a second. He wants to call.
Barely enjoyed a 49-point, almost triple-double performance out of our superstar the other
night. That's sad.
And I was, like, sitting on the court, which is something I've done twice in life.
Yeah, that's sad.
I should have been jacked out of my mind.
And that's partly why I want to talk Eagles today. Because it's like, I need a break.
We just got a tweet from our buddy Chip Reederson. He goes, "You guys know I obsess over the Eagles at all hours, all year round, but there's just nothing going on right now that I care about. Alshon drama, fake Dillard trade rumors, the underwear Olympics, hard pass, wake me up for free agency."
Wow, really?
And he's as hardcore Eagles.
I like thinking about free agency before it happens.
Yeah, yeah. I like playing out the scenarios in my head. Well, all right, if they get Byron Jones here or they get Amari Cooper here, what are they going to do with Big V?
What are they going to do in the draft?
What are they going to do with Malcolm Jenkins? Like, I like those conversations.
Like, all right, Malcolm Jenkins walks. Do you pay Rodney McLeod? Like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you try to restructure McLeod, and then you draft maybe the Wakefield kid from Minnesota to come in and be your new safety.
I like to find every reason to not bring Peters back, but hey, it's probably going to happen. I'm gonna be miserable about it.
That one is weird.
Hold on, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Antoine in West Philly. Antoine, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Antoine?
Not much. I love y'all show, man. Y'all creeping to be the best show on the Fanatic thing, man.
Oh, thanks a lot, Antoine.
Thanks,
appreciate
that.
But no, I know it's exhausting talking about the Sixers over and over. But it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just like, how they should be gelling better than what they are. Like you and the Cavs made a good point yesterday when y'all said, will Embiid be willing to sit? If Ben Simmons barks some orders at him, try to tell him what they do, Antoine,
I don't think Embiid's going to listen. Like, so Jamie, basically we were talking about who's the leader on this team, because we had legs on, and and Tim was talking about how part of the reason why they're so bad on the road is because they don't have a true leader on this team, and we both say it should be Ben Simmons. But if Ben Simmons yelled at Embiid, how's Embiid going to react?
And Ben's probably smart enough to realize that.
Yeah, exactly. So why waste your energy?
I want to see Embiid humbling himself, especially in public. Like, he got this image, that social media stuff. Like, I want to see him humbling himself on that court.
No, I don't think Joel Embiid will ever be the leader. I don't think he wants that. And to be honest, I don't know if Ben wants it yet. It's something you can grow into, but the fact that Josh Richardson is, you know, perceived as the team leader, it's like, wow, really?
That's troubling all in itself right there.
Yeah.
He's been here two-thirds of a season.
Yeah, I know, a cup of coffee.
Yeah, so that itself. But like you said, it is exhausted talking about it, but, you know, I'm 4-for-4, so.
Oh, yeah, we're all going to be there come playoff time. We'll talk ourselves into it as best we can. Yeah, but
that's why I just want to flip the switch, and I appreciate the call, Antoine. That's what, like, because I'm tired of complaining, and I know I'm going to. Like, okay, let's see, what's the Sixers' schedule? So, let's say they win tomorrow against the Clippers. Oh, we go nuts.
I actually have a meeting, a buddy. I'm in a fantasy basketball league, and we're all getting together with the wives and kids and going out for the game.
That's cool.
So
it's 3:30, so it's not.
Yeah,
it's not the 10 o'clock.
Perfect.
Tip, like it's the next or on Tuesday.
Oh, that's going
to
be.
And then
brutal.
If they lose to the Lakers, and it's. Are we going to do, it was just the Lakers. But then what if they lose to the Kings?
The Kings and Warriors are almost more important to me than the Lakers and Clippers.
Because
you can't afford to let those ones go.
But they'll let one of those go? They will. They're 9-20 on the road this year.
I hear you.
They're going to let one of those two go.
Maybe not.
And that's why I don't want to, like, sit here and yell and scream and freak out. Because, like, I'd rather just get to the playoffs at this point. And it's sad because we were hoping for such a fun season. And this has been the opposite of a fun season. I've hated this season.
Yeah, it's been...
Radio Me has loved this season, right? like, oh, yeah, we can bitch and moan.
Yeah, but it's the same. We're bitching about the same things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and the Brett Brown conversation exhausts me because nothing's going to happen until the end of the year.
Yeah, you're not going to fire him.
So it's like you're just spinning your tires in place. I understand a lot of people want him gone.
Well, we should fire him a week before this playoff start. Really light a fire under the players' butts.
Yeah, like, I just get exhausted by that because I'm like, in reality, we all know is he's seen this year out.
Yes.
And his it's probably already been determined. Granted, he doesn't, you know, pull a miracle off in the playoffs. Right. And
like,
and
somebody on Twitter was bashing me the other day. Like, you're such a Brett Brown apologist. He should have been fired weeks ago, and you say he should finish out the season.
Did you get the because he's nice to you in the media? That's why you're an apologist. I love that one.
I see that all the time. But, like, I was literally like, no, I'm not. I'm saying don't fire him until the end of the season because that's what normally happens. Yeah. Especially when you're 28-2 at home.
Yeah.
Especially when you're above 500. Especially when you're all. Are they on pace for 50 wins still?
Yeah, I think they're right around 50.
Okay, they're going to get the 50 wins.
And I have 53 and a half.
And here's what happens.
Yeah.
If they don't win, go past the second round, they fire him, just like they did to Dwayne Casey in Toronto. And
he's the guy to get you to the guy then, hopefully, at that point.
I don't know. I wasn't listening to Toronto Sports Radio, but were they firing him midseason when they were on pace for 50-plus wins? Probably not.
So they were calling
but they were probably annoyed.
They were probably calling up with their favorite maple syrup cocktail recipes
or
something.
You know? That's true. All right, 610-632-0975. We got two open lines. I do want to say one thing. Do you know Frank Kelly from the Wells Fargo Center?
Yeah, Frank, the elevator man.
He retired yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
So,
very cool.
I was at the Flyers game. They honored him.
Very cool.
They gave him a jersey and all
Frank's
that
Frank's the
stuff.
Man. He's going to be missed there in the elevators.
Dan Geltzen puts out a tweet saying, here's one of the best conversations you'll always have with Frank is, how's it going, Frank? And he says, up and down. Because he's on the elevator.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Frank, who's retiring.
Frank's awesome.
If
he'll
you
be
never got a chance
there.
To meet him, I'm sure you haven't because he's just in an elevator.
In a press credential elevator.
But he's a very nice man and happy for him to enjoy his retirement. All right, he's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and we're taking until noon right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Jamie Lynch. We're on until noon right here on The Fanatic. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Turnersville Jeep. Save big on brand new Jeeps and Ram trucks during the President's Day sales event going on now at TurnersvilleJeep.com on Route 42 in Turnersville, New Jersey. Drive a little, save a lot. Yeah, you just said something to me right before we came out of the break about Tony Romo.
$17 million.
Can I say that I think he's so overhyped? Is that a hot take?
I think it's a hot take.
I think it is because people love him because he can call out the plays.
He's new and refreshing and clearly very he does a good way of conveying the game at a high level to a common fan,
okay.
I think is a good way to put it. So I think he was refreshing in a way.
Listen closely.
I think he's also overhyped at the same time.
Totally overhyped.
$17 million a year is outrageous.
Listen closely.
I mean, good for him, but
next year, next season, to the other color analysts. Because Chris Collinsworth last year, and I don't like Collinsworth, don't get me wrong, he started doing the whole, look, they're going to do this before the...
They're trying to steal Romo's vibe.
Well, I think they all know that, like, they're all smart. Like,
yeah.
We hate Chris Collinsworth, but he knows football.
So I worked on the Sunday Night Football crew for eight years.
Right.
And I was, Zach Berman went to high school with my wife, so we have, you know, they're in a mutual friend group. So mm-hmm. I was with a party with Zach maybe like 7-8 years ago, like a long time ago. And he said to me, he goes, what's the one thing that people don't know about the national broadcast that might surprise them? And I said to him, honestly, how well they know the style that the game is going to be played in. Because mm-hmm. these guys, Collinsworth and you know, Michaels, and the producer and director, but right. those guys very much so, they sit down with each coach on like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they get told more or less off the record what the game plan is going to be,
right.
what the style of play is. If they're in fourth and one, are they going to run a hurry-up sneak? Like, they kind of know an amazing amount about the game, and sitting in the truck and hearing them talk behind the scenes, like, they call a lot of this stuff out.
Yeah.
They know way more than you would expect them to know.
Tony Romo was just one of, like, the first guys to, like, implement it, because he was so brand new.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That he was just
I agree with you.
All right, let me just...
I'm just going to let this rip.
So I'm telling you, listen closely next year, because I think you're right. I think part of it is people are like, wow, look how smart he sounds.
Uh-huh.
Collinsworth started doing it a lot last year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes the new norm.
$17 million. $17 million.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
Because, oh, he's so great, he can predict plays.
Yeah, so can well, the market so got driven up on him because ESPN has nothing. So they were like, we better offer him $15 million a year. And then CBS was like, yeah, Tony, you're 17. Yeah, you're not going anywhere.
That's
but Michael Thomas, the Saints receiver, had an interesting tweet about it. And it does make some sense here. Michael Thomas quote tweeted the Tony Romo thing, and he quote tweeted Roger Sherman that said CBS pays the NFL $1.03 billion every year to broadcast its games. Paying somebody $17 million to announce the big ones is a drop in the bucket. So Michael Thomas, Saints receiver, quote tweets that, and he said, "Thank you. That's why we shouldn't sign the new CBA agreement. No way the announcer should be making more than 90% of the players. Hashtag no." So, a lot of these players...
I don't think
players,
they're going to sign it.
I don't think they are either.
And I'm kind of okay with it. I like the new playoff format that
the NFLPA
created.
Is a disgrace.
Yeah.
They have the owners by the short ones here, and they need to capitalize.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Adam Schefter just tweeted about Tony Romo. It's a firm 3-year deal to remain at the CBS network, but it could grow to a 10-year deal.
Oh, jeez.
So, we could get $10
$170 million 10-year deal for Romo?
I mean, that's more than what coaches make.
That's insane.
Unreal. All right, let's get this out of the way. What's up, Hodge? Yo, Hodge, what's up?
I'm here.
What's up? What do you got?
Hey, listen, who said that Tony Romo's not worth $17 million? They don't understand the entertainment business. You know,
Tony
Romo's getting people to tune in, advertisers to advertise. That guy's just one guy.
I don't give a damn what he makes. They got the money.
Yeah, so anyway, listen, here's why there's no excitement with the Eagles. I think the fans are smart, again. I mean, they were pretty dumb last year. And they're realizing that the team is just an average football team now. You got a GM that doesn't know what he's doing.
Wait, so playoffs 3 years in a row with the amount of injuries they've had is average?
Oh, no, yeah, exactly.
And you're a GM who don't know what you're doing to fix those things?
Division. Look at the division, dude. I mean,
oh, the Cowboys. They suck.
Well, next year, that's going to change. And then you got a quarterback who can't stay on the field, all right?
He just played a full season.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, he played a full season.
There's a freak injury that knocked him out.
And then you got a coach that pretty much got lucky in 2017 because he had some guys around him that knew what they were doing and in terms of other coaches. And
which,
he didn't.
We'll see. We'll see.
Every time he talks, it's like chalk on the whiteboard. You know, it's a shrieking.
That's kind of how when you talk, it sounds. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
I like taking his call because I like hearing what contrarian viewpoint it's going to be today.
I think he's an ass face.
You know, we always get to, don't take Hodges' call. Don't take Hodges. I kind of like taking it just to see what he's got to say. The old Doug Peterson's lucky for winning the Super Bowl line.
I mean, we'll see. Maybe he did get a lot of help from Frank Reich and John DeFilippo.
Yeah, he might have.
But maybe he can learn.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not like he's not going to learn or adapt.
So when making the playoffs 3 years in a row and winning the Super Bowl in one of those 3 years is the definition of an average NFL football
team? Average franchise,
with the amount of injuries that they've had to overcome?
Yeah.
That's not the definition of average.
Howie Roseman shouldn't be... He shouldn't be tops on anyone's list, but he's done a decent job saving seasons when guys have been getting hurt left and right.
And he's fully aware of what drastic changes need
to
happen.
He's had a busy offseason.
There was a rumor I saw from a national NFL guy the other day, and it might have even been Zach Berman retweeting it, but it said, word around Indy is that the Eagles are going to be incredibly aggressive this offseason. So that means they're having a lot of conversations out in Indianapolis.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk out there.
Yeah. And a lot's got to happen with this team. I'm excited for it. Like, I know, you know, nothing's going to happen for 18 days here, but you're going to be able to start reading some tea leaves pretty soon. And
that's why I want to talk about
it. I really think Byron Jones is going to be an Eagle. I think they're going to pay him top money, and he's going to come in here, and he's going to be the...
You don't have another corner.
Yeah.
Darby's done. You might be able to bring Mills back, depending on what the market is.
Yeah.
And if you go Byron Jones, Jalen Mills... I'm feeling pretty good.
If you bring Mills back, what you do is then draft a cornerback pretty high and say, you two go compete. And that way, you know, best man wins the second quarterback.
Jeff McClain was on yesterday, sort of, not hinted, but said they could maybe trade Sidney Jones or something like that.
Oh, I think Sidney Jones is going to be moved.
Yeah, he shouldn't be.
He's not going to get you a ton of value back, but you almost have to walk away at this point.
I want to talk Eagles. I'm shocked.
I think they're in better shape than... a lot of people.
I don't know. We'll see.
You got Carson Wentz, man.
Yes, and that's
all that matters.
That's key. I'm a big Carson Wentz guy.
I mean, look at the Seahawks. You know, when the Legion of Boom got blown up,
yeah,
everybody was like, oh, Seahawks window's closed.
Yeah, but it's
like, nope, still got Russell Wilson.
I don't know. I just think there's so many more pieces that they have to, and it's a retooling. It's not a rebuilding. I just don't know if it happens this year that they win.
I still think you have, it's kind of like the Flyers. You have enough veteran pieces here still that if you bring in a new lifeline of youth, I think that's a good combination to have. And the youth is going to be in your skill wide out positions, basically, and maybe a linebacker. So I think it's a perfect recipe here.
You mean Nate Gary's not enough?
The White Snake?
Two open lines, 610-632-0975. We have 25 minutes of commercial-free radio coming up, and we got two open lines. We're going to run through a bunch of calls, 610-632-0975. Flyers were celebrating another win yesterday, and the most fun team to watch in the city right now. We're talking about the Sixers and the angst, and you name it. I'm tired of complaining about them, but I know we still have to. And the Eagles, do you really care right now? Because it's kind of quiet when it comes to Eagles talk. We want to talk more Eagles. And we already got a tweet from Chip Reederson saying, yeah, I'm kind of out until free agency starts. One open line, 610-632-0975. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.